I'm sure we've all had a shock, and I needed it. I was speaking in Ireland in a senior citizen's home, and it was a very beautiful home. And when I had finished, they said, there's a lady here that knows you. And she's the oldest lady here. She's nearly 100. So I went along to see her. And this is what she said. I remember hearing you when I was a little girl of 12. I said, are you sure it's me? She says, I'll never forget that voice. So you can see I was flattered, and I deserved it. Now, a question has been put to me. Can we really be sure of eternal life and to be humble about it? Now, I'm just going to give you a scripture, and I believe this will be a blessing to you. It's in John 5, and it's 1 verse 24. The Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, if we're going to be sure, we need to know three great facts. Number one, we must have final authority. Not authority that comes from religion, or authority that comes from a philosopher, but the authority that comes from God. Now, if we can get that, that's final. Secondly, there must be honesty. In order to be a Christian, you must be honest with God and with yourself. Thirdly, there must be total dependency. We can't give ourselves the forgiveness of sins. We can't give ourselves natural life. And we certainly can't give ourselves eternal life. So we need to be absolutely dependent on the Lord. And lastly, we can get security. God doesn't want us to be nervous about the afterlife. He wants us to be absolutely sure. Why? Because he loves us. And that's why the Lord Jesus says, has everlasting life. Now may that be a blessing to you, and it won't take me too long. Verily, verily, we don't use that word today. Actually, the word really is a Latin word, veritas, and it has two meanings, or three meanings. It means amen, amen. Now, when we say amen, it means so let it be. But when God says it, it's different. It is, it shall be. It shall be. So what he's saying is this, amen, amen, it shall be. Now that's authority. I say, well, great people have spoken. At school, they drummed into my dull mind that 55 BC, the Romans came, 410 AD, they left, and I believe that. At school, I had to learn about Socrates and Plato, the great Greek philosophers, but most of the things I was taught, I have forgotten. But here's the difference. The words of Christ are being heard today more than when they were first spoken. Hundreds of great thinkers have tried to destroy that book. But you know, after all the bullets have been fired at it, The 66 books will raise their proud heads and say, do thyself no harm, we're all here. Isn't that lovely? It's a wonderful book, and it's the Lord that does the speaking. I say, you is lovely. It doesn't refer to a great crowd. It doesn't even refer to a congregation like this. It refers to an individual. I think there have been some of you worried about the afterlife because you're sensible. Now the Lord wants you to be absolutely sure. And that's why he says, amen, amen. I say unto you, it's someone who's troubled that needs to know for certainty and wants to be humble even when they know. He that heareth my word. Now the words of the Lord Jesus are divided into two. There are the light words and there are the love words. Now we don't like the light words. Can I prove that to you? I once had tea with a man who was a brilliant theologian. And he had a very powerful German camera. Too powerful, really. And he said, would you like your photograph taken? I said, I would. So I went into his studio. And I looked here, there and everywhere, hoping for a good one. When the photographs came, I was shocked. It put out these bushy eyebrows, the bags under my eyes, this mole here, and there's a little mole you can't see there. It was just like my face. It was the absolute truth. It was lunk, but I didn't like it. We went to tea with a couple that we loved deeply, and it was a lovely tea. And we started to talk about this theologian with the German camera. And the lady said, he took my photograph. And I could see she was none too pleased. And then she went to the drawer and threw them on the table. Do you think that's like me? It was a beauty. It was, as we say in London, a spitting image of her physiognomy. But she didn't like the truth. I didn't like the truth. Now, could God use flattery? Wouldn't be God, would he? Ladies and gentlemen, when he looks at our hearts, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately nervous. Desperately wicked. Who would like their thought lives exposed? None of us. When he looked at our lives through the lens of the Ten Commandments and he ticked off all those that we've kept and all those that we've broken, he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now when you hear that, you can't clap your hands and say, what a wonderful message. But it's true. And then he goes on to say very clearly, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That means God can have no fellowship with sin. Then comes the flashpoint. If we die in our sins, he can't have us in heaven. We have to go away where we've been all our lives, in Hades. Now you can't jump for joy when you hear that. I've been preaching it now for nearly 65 years. I watch people. And when I'm preaching about sin, this is what happened. Now why? Now, none of us like the absolute truth, but we must face up to it that we need forgiveness. And once we're there, God can bless us. Then the love words come. Listen to this. God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to this. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be a mercy seat for our sin. And that means when Jesus Christ came into the world, he didn't love our sins, but he loved a sinner. And he went to the cross and bore the judgment for their sins. And that's why he said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he loved us so much as to bear our sins in his body on the tree. And then when it was all over, he said with a mighty voice, finished. It doesn't mean he was finished, but he finished the work he came to do, and that's why he can forgive our sins. Now, sit back and grasp this. Are you ready? No one will ever love you like the Lord Jesus. No one could love you more. And he longs to forgive your sins. And he longs to give you eternal life, if only you would receive it. So he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and we've heard it, and believeth on him that sent me. Now, what does it mean to believe? Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of Greek. It comes from a word called pistuo. And it means three things. To know what you believe, to trust what you believe, and to be committed to what you believe. So that when you become a real Christian, you trust right in your heart. I had a friend, and he wanted to be a paratrooper. He was much younger than me, so he went to school at Bicester, and he learned all about aeronautics, gravity, and how to jump with a parachute. Then he had an examination. Unfortunately, he was the top pupil. But that didn't make him a paratrooper. Gave him all the information. Then he had to get up into a Hastings aircraft with 40 others. And the sergeant called them. And then his name was called. And then the number, PJX631556. And up he got. And the sergeant said, stand there, son. And he did. And he said, right, when you see the green light, turn round. And then I'll tell you to jump. And then he said, look, son, you've got the knowledge in your head. You've got the pack on your back. Now put it to practice. And there was the green light, so he turned round. Then the sergeant didn't say, darling, jump. He said, jump. He couldn't. Failed, he said. Just like that. Ah, oh, but I'm a shoe. Doesn't matter what you know. Until you jump, you're no paratrooper. Back you go. You see, he knew all about it, but couldn't jump. Lots of people know all about Jesus, but they don't trust him. Four times he was allowed up, and because he was a good pupil, they failed him four times, and then he went up for the last time. He was all this, nervous. He was called. The sergeant says, you know what to do, your last chance. When you see the green light, turn round and I'll tell you to jump and you must jump. No nonsense. Green light, turn round, jump! And he did. Nervously, he counted 10 before he cleared the plane and then he pulled the string. And when he saw a red parachute opening, do you know what he said, being a Christian? Oh, praise the Lord. And he trusted it all the way down. Now come. There comes a moment when you're in a meeting like this and the Lord says, you know, yeah. Now jump, trust the Lord. And you do that in your heart. Here's the scripture. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you could switch off from me right now, and in your heart, you could say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. I'm going to ask you to forgive my sins and give me eternal life. And this is the promise. And then I'll close. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Got it. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now I give you a sea story. I hope you're not sick after all these sea stories, but I'm going to give you one. I was in the Navy for 3 years during the war. And when we were on the North Sea, taking ships to Russia, it was terrible. We used to start out with 40 ships, and when we got near to Moscow to land the stuff, there were only 10 left. All disappeared. When you got torpedoed, you knew it. When the rescuing ship came, God, were you glad? But no one must jump until the captain gives the order. You're going down, and perhaps you're higher than the rescuing ship. And that comes alongside. And when it comes alongside, there were 40 of us who were told to jump. And when the captain said jump, you had to jump. And when you landed on it, you said, if you were a Christian, thank God for that. Then it was your turn to be among the 40. You saw the ship coming. The captain would tell you when they were level, and then he would give the orders. Jump! And you had to jump. And when you fell on a buoyant boat, ah, you said, thank you, Lord. Are you ready? The Lord saying, jump. You do it in your heart. You say something like this, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come.